Amen. Few people understand the exceeding greatness of His power. We have access to the power of His resurrection. Actually, the Apostle Paul said that the same kind of power that was exhibited and illustrated when Jesus was resurrected on the third day, that power is available to every believer. Let me show you that. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 10. The Apostle Paul was thankful. He was thankful for how that power had been demonstrated in his own life and the power that he saw exhibited in the church. I wouldn't give you a half a hallelujah for a religion that wasn't divine and full of power. I just wouldn't. We need a powerful religion in order to change us. I'm convinced that we have not the capacity, nor are we capable of living the kind of lives that we should live apart from Jesus Christ. We just can't do it. We cannot live the lives that we were meant to live without the power and influence of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was talking about them seeing, them understanding that the eyes of their souls would be opened to the power that was displayed and demonstrated, not only when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, but that they would personally experience it for themselves. He will say in another place in the book of Philippians that he said, Paul himself, he said, I want to know him, I want to experience him. Not only know and experience Him, but I want to experience the power of His resurrection. Can we today that believe in Jesus Christ, can we that have been saved by the grace of God, experience that power? Paul said we could. Jesus said we could. The New Testament tells us that we can. But are we? When the question is put to you personally and directly, have you experienced the power of His resurrection? Can you say yes? It's been illustrated time and time again before me in my life, that resurrection power. I'm thankful that I grew up in a church where people were transformed, they were changed. They were altered. They were filled with the Spirit. They displayed things that could only be displayed by the power of God. I realized a long time ago as a young boy, many times I would look at some of my family members and I would see them get in the Spirit. And it was obvious to me when I was a young boy that that was the power of God. I remember my dad went through something when I was young. I remember him calling all the elders together to come to our house. My dad had them come and pray with him concerning a matter. And even in the times of my dad's weakness, I saw displayed the power of Christ. That power needs to be continuous and perpetually displayed in our lives. Notice here, as I begin reading in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 1, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Every system of religion, many of them have good ethics and good morals, but you know what they lack? They lack a risen Savior. When you start examining those different religions, many of them, if you study some of the teachings that they display, their ethics or morals, their teachings may be good. But Jesus does something different for us. He holds up a standard before us and he says, come to me with all of your weakness and ignorance and sin. And he says, let me save and guide you. He says, I will help you. I will help you live and realize that standard. People, that's the power of his resurrection. The Spirit that influences us, that quickens us. Notice as I use a text, and Brother Collins read this in the sunrise service, and I told him, I said, you just stole my text. But looking at Romans chapter 8 for just a moment, verse 11, there Paul was talking about the Spirit of Christ being in us. When Jesus compels us to come to him in all of our moral weakness, in our frailness, in our difficulties, he tells us that if we will honestly commit ourselves to him, he will guide us, he will master our lives, he will help us live the kind of lives we ought to live. He told us that he would come and dwell in us and empower us, anoint us, give us an unction to do what we ought to do and live like we ought to live. Paul was telling the church at Ephesus that there is a power that we have access to, that we can tap into, that will help us and enable us in all of the experiences of life to give Christ glory. It will sustain us and carry us through trials and troubles and all the different diversities of life. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, he says, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. Does the Spirit of Christ dwell in you? The same power that was displayed and demonstrated when Jesus rose from the grave. Do you people realize what kind of power it took to raise Jesus from the dead? There is no greater power ever been displayed in all of the worlds. It is an apex. It is a pinnacle of power that was displayed when one who had died and was buried to come back alive. And that same power, similar in nature, similar in kind, Paul said, dwells within us. If you don't live the Christian life, it's not because Christ hasn't provided you the power to do so. Amen? The greatest display of power when Jesus rose from the grave is set as an illustration, as an example. It is a display of power that each believer, that every one of us that are saved, has to our disposal. He not only demonstrated that power, but he also distributed that power to us. And that power is in the heart and in the soul of every saved person. And if that Spirit of Christ is not in you, then you are none of his. Amen. He says that in these passages, but let me read the rest of this. He talks about the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, how that it dwells in us. I'm glad I have his spirit within me. That's how I know I'm saved. That's what enables me to live the saved or Christian life. It's what keeps me. That spirit of Christ and that power that was demonstrated when he arose from the grave is the power that converted me, that saved me. It's the power that keeps me. It's the power that enables me to do and work and live as I ought to live. Those that have difficulty or trouble living the Christian life, Baptists of long ago used to teach a principle or a doctrine called eternal, not just eternal security, but perseverance of the saints. That those that are true believers will persevere. Why? Because there is a spirit in them. There's a grace in them. There's a power in them that enables them to live the Christian life. And though they may fail and sin from time to time, they will get convicted of that. Amen. They will confess that. And they'll clean that up through the blood of Jesus. A power. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Now, what this is talking about is enabling us or empowering us to live the Christian life. I know some think it's the resurrection, but I think he's talking about how that through the Spirit or the presence and power of Christ, we are able to work and do as we ought to do in the flesh. He said that there was no flesh that could please God in his sight in verse 8, but he was telling us that if the Spirit of Christ is in us, we could please the Lord in the flesh if we keep the flesh under subjection to the Spirit. If we'll crucify the flesh, we can live the crucified life and glorify Jesus. Amen. Will quicken our mortal bodies. How? How will that happen? It can only be done by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. This is how Christianity outdistances all other human religions. We have Christ in us. Paul said in Philippians 3 and 10, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And he went a little further talking about crucifying the flesh. And he said, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformed unto his death. Everyone that is saved knows and has experienced personally the resurrection power. And if you have not in your heart and in your life experienced the resurrection power, you are not saved. Not saved. I know there's a lot of religions that have developed in the world, and it seems as though Christianity has sidestepped some of the main teachings of Jesus Christ. They've sidestepped the Bible. But I contend that those that are saved by the grace of God will try to the best of their ability to live for God. I don't teach or preach, neither have I ever heard any Baptist preacher or teacher say that you can get saved and live any way you want to. That is not the teaching of this church. Amen. It is not my teaching or preaching, nor is it the teaching or preaching of any of these brethren. We believe that when God, by his power and through his Spirit, applies the blood of Jesus, when you go up the crest of Calvary and an application of believing, application of the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your heart, it will change your life. Paul said in the book of Colossians, it was the same kind of power that was demonstrated when God spoke this world into existence has spoken to our hearts. And I'll tell you, when he spoke to my heart, he changed me. No, he created me in Christ Jesus unto good works. Praise God. And every person that's been saved and had the Holy Ghost placed within them has that same experience. I was talking to a guy several years ago. And he looked at me and he said, are you telling me that everybody's got to have the same kind of experience you had? And I said, yeah, I am. I'm telling you that every person has to have the experience Jesus said they had to have. And he said it to Nicodemus. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeneth, thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There must be a time and a place in your life where the Spirit of Christ comes in you. That new life must exist in you, or you are not saved. And that first experience, because I've had many experiences. Actually, turn back with me just for a moment there to the book of Ephesians. There in these passages, he was telling us there are three watts, and I brought this out in the earlier service today. He tells us that we need the eyes of our souls opened, and we need to understand. We need to know what, notice the word what is used three times. In verse 18, what is the hope of his calling? He says, what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? And in verse 19, he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power to usward? Who believe according to the working of his mighty power? In other words, Paul was saying that we need to have a full acquaintance. We need to be fully acquainted with the power of God and what it is able to accomplish in our lives. I remember as a young boy, various preachers would come and visit with us. I remember when Brother Vanderpool came to Indianapolis and held a revival when I was a small boy and came to our house. I remember him sitting at the table, and he'd just gotten back, I believe, from Israel. And I was young, and it just, I was spellbound by his stories of going to the Holy Land. It was so intriguing to me. I'd hardly been anywhere other than Tennessee or Kentucky in my life at that time. And as he would tell about Gordon's Calvary and the empty tomb, it fascinated me. I never thought I'd ever get a chance to go there, but I was glad to hear somebody tell who had been there. And I still get kind of, you just have to excuse me. And I still contend one of the greatest joys of my ministry, I didn't understand at first what Fred Prince said. I had his son-in-law to write a story about his life, or tell about his life, a biography of his life, and printed it in the Baptist Beacon several years ago. Fred Prince was a pastor at Landmark where I used to be, and there was there was something in there that captured me that I couldn't let go of that Brother Prince said. And it was in quotations. And he said, the greatest experience of my ministry, one of the greatest privileges of my ministry, was preaching in the empty tomb. I believe Brother Fred probably back then was able to go right in. And they probably had a service right in there back then. It's changed a little bit now. But when I went to the Holy Land, and I say today that one of the most stirring things of my ministry, and I told Brother Skinner when he was getting a group up to go, I said, I won't go unless you let me preach at the empty tomb. I won't buy my tickets unless I can go there and preach at the empty tomb. And praise God, he's not there. He's arisen. But I knew he wasn't there because I'd experienced the power of his resurrection in my life. When I was a 10-year-old boy and I was calling upon his name and asked the Lord to transform and change my heart, I died to sin and was made alive unto God by his resurrection power. And even just shortly after I got saved, there were some sins that I committed. And praise God, the Holy Spirit came to me, the Lord Jesus, and through his resurrection power, I overcame those sins. And I'll tell you, every time you overcome sin, it's through his resurrection power. You know, I got to thinking the other day, and I'm just glad I'm saved. I've had the most joyful life. I got to think of the other day, if I died right now, I am so happy that I've lived this kind of life. You know, I've experienced more than I ever imagined experiencing. My ministry has brought me places that I had never imagined I would go. I have experienced things and seen things done through the power of His resurrection that I never thought I would see nor experience. My friend, His power is real. Paul said when he was writing to the people at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1:24, he said, Christ is the power of God. If you know Christ, you know the power of God. And if you don't know the power of God, you don't know Christ. You know, today we live in a time, as Paul wrote to the young minister Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3:5, where people have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Paul said, from such, turn away. Turn away. Yes, turn away. This power that I'm talking about, Jesus described it as a spiritual resurrection. That when a person is saved by the grace of God, it is like a corpse standing up and having life. He described it as a new creation, or that he equated it with the power of creation. In the book of Colossians, Paul did. Regeneration and transformation that takes place. He called it the old man being removed and us having a new man, a new way, a new and living way that we experience. We experience that through the power of His resurrection. People, we don't need to simply admire Him living. We need to know that He lives. We need to experience that power every day in our lives. And if you're here today and you have not been saved, you need to be saved. I believe everything regarding our redemption requires or necessitates the almighty power of God. You can't save yourself. You need God's power transforming your life. The old man dethroned and the putting off the deeds of the flesh happens through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Turn back with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. He said that your eyes, your spiritual eyes would be open. Oh, this morning, if some of you like the Apostle Paul, the scales from your eyes would fall and you would see, that you would understand there's available to us the power to live the saved life, to do as we ought to do, to walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord and have fellowship with Him. Paul was not talking about in these passages. He wasn't talking about one thing. He was talking about a whole series of acts of power that's displayed to us. Actually, if you look in verse 20, which he said, when he says, when he wrought in Christ, wrought is a verb, is the indicative verb, it's the main verb in that entire sentence. For those of you that come on Wednesday nights, you'll understand how important an indicative verb is in constructing or understanding a Greek sentence. But wrought is the indicative verb. In other words, he's telling us, and it's active, it's a continuous process that we continue to experience the power of Christ and His resurrection in living for Him and working for Him, in doing for Him. One of the things that's lacking in a lot of churches is the power of God. Where is God's power? Where's the power of His resurrection in the churches to bring conviction of sin and conversion of souls? Paul said, I came not to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't talking about waving his hands. He wasn't talking about hollering or being loud. He was talking about the Spirit and power of Christ being displayed in the soul. He would preach Jesus and people's lives were changed by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And we need that power changing lives today. He said, this is an exceeding great power. Do we need power in keeping us? Do we need power in to love, as we talked about in Sunday school, huh? Yeah. We need the spiritual power to love, to forgive, to be long-suffering toward one another. I've been around some of you long enough to know that it is not your nature to be long-suffering. But from time to time, I see the power of His resurrection displayed in your life. Amen? I know some of you have difficulty loving. Come on now. Yeah, you have difficulty with that. But we see the power of His resurrection displayed in your life. And you loving when it's not easy for you to love. What about the work that we do? Can we do this work without His power? Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. He said that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in what, Paul? Paul said, the power of God. I hope that when you come here, you don't put your faith in us, that you put your faith in Jesus Christ and the power that's available through Him. Yes, power to do, power to work and labor for the Lord. People, we need that. We cannot do this in the strength of ourselves. We cannot do it in the strength of the flesh. We must do it in the strength of the Lord. Oh, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, my dear friend. If you're laboring under difficult circumstances, if situations seem hard, if the flesh is weak, trust in the Lord. I'm convinced that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I'm going to take this off, and I know my shirt's all wrinkled. But I've experienced His power in my life. And it's an exceedingly great power. There's nothing that we cannot do. Oh, I look back through history. And I wonder how Noah had the patience and the strength to build that boat by himself. I'll tell you how he did it. He did it through the Spirit of Christ. You look over there. And it's made real clear by the Apostle Peter in the third chapter of Peter how that it was the Spirit of Christ that was back there helping him not only to build that ark but to preach the gospel. I look back through history, you know, and I see great displays of God's power. I see like the Red Sea parting and the people of Israel going across on dry ground. I see all the plagues in Egypt and the power of God displayed in them. I look back and I see the walls of Jericho falling flat, and I see little David back there standing against that Goliath. And he said, you come against me with spear and with sword. And with a shield, he said, but I come in the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, there's power in the name of Jesus. And if we will go in the name of Jesus, we can build the ark. We can handle any plague or any weapon that's formed against us will not succeed. It will not prevail. We can go out there and march if we have to around the walls, and the walls will fall flat by the power of Christ. I believe we can stand against giants. Some of you today feel like you're just a 5'6" person in a 9'9" world. But through the power of Christ, you can be victorious. And the giants that are before you, whatever that giant may be, whether it's finances, whether it's education, whether it's learning or difficulties that you might be facing, maybe it's trials of loneliness and discouragement or depression, I'm telling you, there's power available, the greatest degree of power that's ever been demonstrated in all the world you have access to. It's an exceedingly great power. And if you will tap into that, He will help you, He will enable you, He will empower you. You must experience that power for yourself. Every day, all around us are displays of His resurrection power. I told him this morning when I went to the funeral home,
And it was very sad. Last week, as I went up to Scottsville on Thursday and went for the viewing of that little beautiful 16-year-old girl that was tragically killed, or 18-year-old girl that was tragically killed in that automobile accident. And I went to the mother, and she was grieving. She was wailing and weeping and mourning over her loss. It was heartrending. And I felt I just needed to go over it. Though there's not really words to say in times like that, just try to console her. She finally focused through the tears and saw my face. Knew how I was. She started rubbing my face. And she said, I took her to church. She got saved. I'll tell you what gets us through stuff like that is the power of Christ. The power, the plainness, the purpose of the gospel that was provided to us, that though we may die, yet we shall live forevermore. As I look about this crowd, I don't know what lies ahead. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know which of us will experience tragedy or problems. I suspect that we'll never be assembled as we are assembled today. I suspect that somebody over the next year will probably pass and we'll have to go and pay our last respects. And many of you have brought many blessings to my life as I've, in years gone by, seen displayed during those times of difficulty, in times of death, in times of trouble, you found the Lord to be a very present help in time of need. And all around you was displayed a grace sufficient to sustain you. And that grace and that power that we tap into when we need it, amen? When we're going through those valleys of the shadow of death. People, we that are saved have nothing to fear. I promise you, I assure you, the Lord will be with you. I've thought a lot here lately about getting old and some of the different trials that must be associated with that. I guess one of the things that bothers me a lot would be, you know, which one of us would go first, Ange or myself? And sometimes I think it'd be easier just go first. But I would worry about her and what she would go through and the loneliness. But then I get to remembering what Jesus said, where He has promised all of us that have trusted Him that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. That He'll always be there. And when we need it the most, His strength is provided. Well, what about you? Sister Sherry came up to me yesterday, and she was talking, and she said, I wonder if I could praise the Lord if my house was taken in the tornado. She said, I wonder if David and I would be able to just continue to praise the Lord and be thankful though we had lost everything. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, you would. Sure you would. The power that's available to us to get us through some terrible, horrific thing is right there within reach. And as I have seen in many of you displayed, His power to get you through, it'll get you through tomorrow. What got you through yesterday and gets you through today will get you through tomorrow. I want to ask you again this morning, do you really know, have you really experienced the greatness the exceeding greatness of His power in your life. The kind of power that converts, the kind of power that keeps, the kind of power that changes us, the kind of power that enables us, the kind of power that provides us stability through trials and diverse temptations. We have available to us an exceeding great power. Is it in your heart and in your life? Is that power in you?